You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This is the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast.
Yep.
Listen live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York.
Yep.
The ESPN New York app.
Yep.
Or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN. This is DiPietro and Rothenberg.
What do you think is going to happen when you say your mother to a 19-year-old?
Well, what do you think is going to happen when you say go birds to me?
He doesn't know you.
Well, I don't know him.
Are.
He asked for it, and I had it ready to go.
Can't
right
you have
after.
A fun back and forth?
I did.
Did you say go Giants?
Your mother.
Your mother. Poor Sherry, like, limping around because she has a fully reconstructed knee, and this idiot is starting fights.
He started with me.
Because he said go birds.
This is DiPietro and Rothenberg.
I'm going to put him in a DDT. You like that?
On 98.7 ESPN.
Oh, yes, the big 9 o'clock hour. We have stuff you missed. We have Michael Chandler. You wouldn't want to mess with him. Now, if he said go birds to me, he's an MMA fighter.
Yeah, you'd be like, yeah, yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Go birds.
Let's go birds.
Let's go birds.
Yep.
That's right.
Yeah.
He's going to join us at 9:30. He's involved in a cool 12 episode event on ESPN.
Yeah, it's not
ESPN
new. Plus. I mean, this is the show.
I know.
And now he and Conor McGregor are the coaches.
I wonder if they, I'm going to ask, like, do they draft teams or is he just given his team?
That's a good question. Yeah. I've watched before.
We're going to find out at 9:30 this morning.
I'll save that question.
Yeah, exactly. This portion of the show, by the way, driven by the All American Ford Auto Group, number one volume Ford Group in the Northeast. Huge locations in Paramus, Hackensack, Old Bridge, and Point Pleasant. Shop allamericanford.net. That's allamericanford.net. This annoys me greatly, Buck Showalter, the other night. Optimistic, feeling really good about where the Mets are in the remainder of the season.
Good days ahead. Good things ahead. Guys are competing their butt off. You know, I'm really proud of them. You know, giving up that many runs and different things, it could have been very easy to pull sand in around you, but they kept competing. We had got the tying run to the plate again, and I'm proud of them. We got some things we need to clean up in some areas, and we're going to start that again Tuesday.
You know, I'm involved in every game, watching or monitoring on online when we're away, and for him to say he's proud of the team, I mean, you're losing to teams that are lousy baseball teams. How much pride could you possibly have in that?
Yeah, see, I don't know if that would be... And I get it. You're trying to be optimistic. It's a long season and everything else. But, I mean, again, you're not a team that's just happy to be out there and be competitive. That's not what this Mets team is built to be, or this amount of money that Steve Cohen is spending to do, is to be just a team that competes. Like I said earlier in the show, I could understand if you're one of these... You know, one of these teams that isn't very good, but, you know, you're trying to build this, you know, culture where we fight to the very end and all these different little things that you try to do when your team is losing. Because trust me, it sucks. Being in a clubhouse or locker room when your team loses every day is tough. It's not easy. So if you have one of those teams, then you're happy that they show up every day and they compete and they fight. That's great. That's not what this Mets team is supposed to be. This Mets team is not supposed to go into Chicago and go into Colorado, especially Colorado, when you got Max Scherzer and Justin Verlander going in two of the three games and losing the series. Not to mention, I mean, being down 6-0 with Justin Verlander on the mound.
Brutal.
It's not supposed to happen.
Absolutely brutal. No, it's disgusting. And this is, it's not like the Mets were 34-19, and I say you go in there, you win with Scherzer, and then you blow the next two games and you're still fine. I mean, you are not playing very good baseball, and this is the thing to me that's so frustrating. Every time it feels like you take that next step, you're like, okay, all right, you win five in a row, you had these great comebacks against Cleveland, and maybe you've righted the ship. Now you go on the road, and you can't win a game. I mean, it's incredible what they're doing right now.
Well, isn't that the definition of kind of what being a 500 team is?
Well, you wonder why you're 500. So you go into Chicago and you get shut down by the Cubs. You lose two out of those three. And then you go on the road to Colorado. This is not exactly a tough landing spot. You went over earlier today what they have coming up in the next 20 games. That's tough.
Yeah, from here, I mean, you got Philly, you got Toronto, you got Atlanta, you got Pittsburgh, you got the Yankees, you got St. Louis, you got Houston.
That's tough.
That's tough.
I mean, Colorado and Cincinnati and Detroit. and Colorado again and Washington, that's not exactly brutal.
Yeah, but why is the expectation, though? See, that's what I don't get. Like, when the team is struggling, I get it. It's the job of the manager to kind of keep. You're supposed to be the unwavering beacon for the team, right? Like, never too high, never too low. And you want to point to positive things when things aren't going the right way. But, like, I'm proud of the guys the way they fought. Like, what do you mean? You're proud? Like, shouldn't that be expected? Proud of the way that they fought.
Yeah, this team should not be proud of the way they fight. This team should be, we're proud of the way we won another series, is what they should be.
Right, we're a team that's expected to play, you know, to play the Cubs, to play Colorado, especially Colorado. When I got our two guys making a combined $86 million,
yeah, we should go hammer these
two
teams.
Or three.
So serious question. He says, be optimistic. Don't worry. Why?
About like, what?
No. So you agree with me? Like, what am I supposed to be optimistic about right now? Am I
Francisco
maybe?
Alvarez?
I agree. Yeah. He's awesome. I'm excited about Beatty. I like him too. They're going to call up Mauricio. That's great as well. But what are these? All these things I'm supposed to be excited
Pete
about?
Pete chasing 60.
I love Alonso.
Well, yeah, we all do. Yeah, but I mean, right now you're a 500 team.
But that pales in comparison to trying to win games. Like Pete getting to 60 would be awesome. But I need to win games.
You got
to
put it all together here at some point. Then you have to go on some kind of stretch run here where you start winning. You know, we need to start. The winning streak was nice, but this can't be just five and then we're back to our old stuff where it's, you know, lose two, win one, lose two, win one. Like, we keep dropping series. You got to find a way to keep winning.
Can't we
got to start winning, consistently winning series.
You need to win two out of three against Philadelphia. It's not like Philadelphia has been murderer's row exactly this season.
No, they've been not. I mean, they're off to a disappointing start, too.
Right? They're below 500.
Yeah.
A couple games below 500. So go out there, win two out of three. You're home. You should be rested. The bullpen should be fresh. Go out there and win two out of three. Then Toronto comes to town, win two out of three against them. And right the ship a little bit, for God's sake. This is a tough stretch coming up.
It's a tough stretch. Yeah, but I mean, they've been the epitome. I mean, I told you this earlier. I mean, they're 27-27. In their last eight games, they're 4-4. Their last 20, they're 10-10. I mean, right now, they are a mediocre 500 team.
So is that just what the Mets are? The Mets are a mediocre team?
I hope not.
Okay, but I mean, you're 2 months in now. You always look at Memorial Day as kind of that litmus test of where are we? The season has now begun. So this is where you are. You're 27-27, and you've struggled against some of the lesser teams in Major League Baseball. Are we at the point now where instead of being so upset every day because the Mets have lost another game, we should look at it and say, you know what? They lost another game because they're just not very good.
No, it's too early. I mean, God forbid that, because this is not, I mean, this is a team that is built to try to compete and win a championship. This is not a team that's supposed to be a 500 team. You can't settle for that.
Win a championship.
Why else would you spend $350 million?
I guess
for what?
Maybe that's the intent. This is not. And I had these concerns before the season. I didn't think it would be this bad. This team is nowhere near championship
caliber.
Time
out for a second. You had concerns that they wouldn't win the division. You didn't have concerns that they weren't going to make the playoffs.
No.
No.
I thought they would get in. I still think they have a really good chance to get in.
They should get in.
They should get in. If they don't, if they don't heads roll here.
Well, of course. How would they not with the amount of money that you're spending? I mean, for the most part, the lineup has been whole. I mean, the pitching, the rotation hasn't been what you've expected, obviously. Scherzer looks like he's starting to get it together. I mean, the fact that Verlander got bombed, not great. McGill hasn't been good.
He's been bad. Peterson was awful. Senga walks too many guys.
Way too many guys.
I can't have five walks in five innings tonight if I'm Senga.
No, it's too much.
And I can't have my pitch count at 104 in 4 2/3 innings.
Well, yeah, you can't consistently pitch from behind and expect to have success.
I think that's kind of what he might be, though. I don't know. That's all I've seen. I don't have anything else to hang my hat on when it comes to Senga.
Right, well, which makes it so much more important for Scherzer and Verlander to be the studs that you're paying them to be.
There's a ton of pressure on those guys. And I don't know whether it's age or they've slowed down or what the case is, but they don't look like... I mean, Verlander was unbelievable last year. He didn't have an outing last year like he's had this year already.
Yeah, but what did I tell you before the season started, though? What did I point to? And you're like, you poo-pooed it. To go from where he was at, how many innings he threw, to have Tommy John miss an entire season, how much time he missed, come back, pitch as many innings as he pitched at 40 years old. I mean, that has to do something to you. But even that start, as bad as he was, and you're down 6-0, you did battle back, you did take the lead, and then immediately gave it right back.
Which is disgusting.
Marte puts you ahead, and then immediately bottom the inning. Brigham gives it back.
Immediately. So here's...
Even the game on Sunday that you lost. You score six runs in the fourth inning, and what happens in the bottom of the inning?
You give it right back away.
Gone.
Right back away. So Senga, April 2nd, three walks. April 8th, three walks. April 14th, four. April 20th, four. April 26th, four. May 5th, four. May 11th, good. Only one. May 17th, three. May 24th, five. Too many walks.
Yeah, too many walks. I mean, listen, especially with what you're going to have to do to get him the appropriate rest and everything else, like, you need him to be better. He has to be. It's something we talked about early in the season with him, too, though. I mean, it's going to take some time for him to adjust, and it's also going to be, you know, once hitters see him and they kind of have a book on him, how they adjust to him, how effective he can be.
I mean, you know, I'm looking at his pitches and his strikes thrown. It's amazing. So in May, I won't even go all the way back. In May, May 5th, 101 pitches, 53 strikes. That's horrendous. Then 95 pitches, 59 strikes. That's not great. 104 pitches, 65 strikes. Okay. 106, 65. So this month of May, 406 pitches, 242 for strikes. That's not great.
No, it's not great.
It's too many balls. It's too many pitches thrown. Too many walks. Just not good. Not what you were hoping for. Not what you need.
No, it's not what you need because, I mean, again, the bigger problem has been the top of the rotation has been the bigger problem.
You're right. But the worse the top of the rotation is, the more you need from Senga and McGill and Carrasco. And let's be fair. Senga, McGill, and Carrasco is your 3-4-5 is very underwhelming.
It has been underwhelming. And on top of that, you've had some bullpen issues too, especially because you're not getting the kind of length that you need. I mean, when they have had pitchers give them 6-plus innings, they've won those games. And when they don't, they've struggled. I mean, you're talking about a team that was built mostly on a lot on pitching, has the 25th best ERA in baseball.
Not going to win like that.
It's going to be tough to win like that.
Let's go to Steve in Michigan. Good morning, Steve. You're next up on 98.7 ESPN.
Good morning, guys. Love the show.
Appreciate it. What do you got today, Steve?
So when Brian Cashman made the trade for Harrison Bader, I defended it because when you looked at the Yankees, Montgomery was never going to get that start in the playoffs, and Bader was great in the playoffs. But the injury history is so large with Bader, I just don't think after this year that you can re-sign him. And given the fact that Oswaldo Cabrera is having a dreadful start to the year, I think the Yankees are short maybe an outfielder for this year and definitely two moving forward. I think that they've got to upgrade, and Jason Dominguez is certainly the guy that you're waiting for. But, I mean, I just think that the Yankees need another bat.
Maybe so, but again, you have the trade deadline, which is still going to hit, and you get Stanton back, and you get Donaldson back.
Yeah, I mean, this is true. But with Stanton, I feel like they're just going to phase him out of the outfield because of the injury issues there. I think long-term, he's got to be your DH. And just one last point, Aaron Judge is unbelievable, and watching him play every night is amazing. There's only one thing that he has left to do, and he has to do this in the postseason, and he has to carry this team in a series.
Cause he's got to win.
And yet to be seen by him.
Yeah? You're right. He's totally. He's got to win. Let's be fair. If we get to the end of the line, and Aaron Judge has not won a championship, that will cost him. It will.
Yeah, it will be a disappointment. I mean, to be as good as he is, to have, I mean, a team that's supposed to be a World Series caliber team, yeah.
I mean, he is great.
If you want to be immortalized, yeah, you have to win a championship for the Yankees.
For any team, really.
Well, yeah, but I mean, especially for the Yankees, though. I mean, that's the goal. That's the expectation, is
right,
to win a championship.
He's never even been to a World Series.
Especially with how good he is. I can understand last year, man. I mean, deal with what he dealt with.
No, I'm not blaming him for any specific year. I'm just saying if we get to, you know, when he's hanging him up and he hasn't won a World Series, that will be a big blow against him.
Yeah, but that's one of the things that they need. Like, we talk about all these different things that they need. They got to hit in the postseason. They need, you know, they have to have a lineup that's more than just home runs. It has the versatility. Yeah, but it also has to have the best player in baseball play like the best player in baseball, or pretty close to it.
I mean, A-Rod was never great in the postseason. Remember, then he gave you the 2009 where he was incredible.
When they won the World Series.
And they won the whole thing. Well, that resonates.
I mean, he had some amazing seasons. MVPs for the Yankees.
But he wasn't great in the postseason until he was, and then they won the whole thing.
Yeah, listen, dude, heavy is the head that wears the crown. I mean, he's one of the best players in baseball. You can make the argument that he's the best player in baseball. So once you get to the postseason, like, that's what made Derek Jeter so special. Look at his numbers. Playoffs.
As good as.
Regular season. The same.
But nobody's as good. I mean, he was, you're right.
He was.
But it's rare because the level of competition steps up tremendously.
Right, but that's why when you talk about Derek Jeter, you talk about Eli Manning, that's what separates them from, I mean, that's really, Like, Eli Manning is a better postseason quarterback than he was a regular season quarterback.
Which really doesn't happen.
So it's not supposed to be that way.
No, it's not. You're not supposed to be better in the postseason, period, because the competition is better. Steven, how do we say this now? What is this?
Steven, watching.
Watching?
Watchung.
Watchung?
Watchung.
Okay. Steven Watchung. Good morning, Steve. You're on 98.7.
Hey, good morning, Rick. Good morning, Dave. First time, long time.
Well, we appreciate it.
So, I'm calling as a disgruntled Mets fan who's tired of the media cover that they've gotten. I know it's over now. But, so Billy Epler, our GM, we talk a lot about Vogelbach as being one of his disasters. This pitching staff, we're spending $80 million a year on 2 fourth-line starters when you look at performance and you take the names off the back of the baseball card. I think we can kill Buck all we want. The offense hasn't been great, but it hasn't been terrible. But how do you win even with a $300 million payroll when you're spending $80 million on replacement-level guys? Like, that's a huge swing and a miss, and I think we all knew this could have happened at the beginning of the season, and we kind of laughed it off a little bit, but this is a disaster.
Well, I don't think we expected it to be this, though. I mean, I think we kind of looked at certain things that could be a problem with this team. I said that, I mean, I think we all recognize there's a risk you take when you try to just run the same team back. The lineup was pretty much the same, and then replace a couple of your guys in the rotation. Like, everyone hoped that Senga's upside was going to be better than what they let go. Hasn't turned out that way. Bassett's been actually really good for Toronto. And then on top of it, you haven't seen Quintana pitch yet. And
Carrasco's taking a huge step back.
And it seems like Max is starting to figure it out, which is big. But, I mean, you're talking about Justin Verlander coming off a Cy Young season where they won the World Series. And I guess the argument people would make as to why it was going to be better than Jacob deGrom was because he would be more available. So he would give you... You know, you'd get more of him during the regular season, and then hopefully, you know, come postseason.
And he was hurt right away.
He's hurt right away.
Let's go to Rodney in the Bronx. Rodney, good morning. You're next up on 98.7, buddy.
Hey, good morning, gentlemen. Great to listen. Love your show. Just to piggyback off of the whole Yankees thing, I agree with you guys. Yankees are doing well. Rick, you're right. The Yankees are going to be fine. My only concern, and I called in the show before, I called other shows about this, is Brian Cashman at the trade deadline. Guys, I don't know if you guys can make me feel better. I do not trust him at the trade deadline. His record with trades the last, I don't know how many seasons, has been
last year
horrible.
Was bad. Last year, I mean,
and even the many years before, it's been bad. And I just don't know, man. I'm concerned that if we need something, which we are, is he going to go and make the move that needs to be done? And I don't have faith, guys. I really don't.
Yeah, but you got to understand, too, I get what you're saying. Like, the whole Montas thing never really worked out. And everyone wanted Castillo, but then you also, I mean, we don't know exactly what. I mean, stories were that they wanted Volpe and Peraza. Like, you're not going to give up. If you expect one of those guys to be your starting shortstop this season, you're not going to give him up in a trade. Montas stunk. That was a bad move. He can admit that. But at the time, I mean, everyone was happy they got Benintendi.
Right. But again, how about like Matt Carpenter? He brings Matt Carpenter from nowhere, and all of a sudden he's a terrific player. Kind of rejuvenates
his
career.
What Willie Calhoun's doing right now.
Yeah. I mean, I understand what he says. Last year at the trade deadline, the Yankees were underwhelming.
Yeah, well, it didn't help that they got hurt, too. I mean, Montas was ineffective and
Montas
got hurt.
But Montas was hurt when he came here.
Right.
That's a problem also.
Of course. Because the other option, which one everyone wanted, was Castillo. Which would have been big for them. But
it would have cost you an arm and a leg.
Right.
And did you want to give up those pieces?
They said no. For a reason. Anthony Volpe's your starting shortstop.
I guess it's fair to say, though, you would hope that you don't bring in a guy who's damaged goods.
Who's already hurt.
Yeah. I think that in fact, is a problem. All right, Raymond. RJ has stuff you missed. Let's get rolling here. On a
now. See ya.
Bang! Touchdown! Rebound score!
The you missed.
Very nice. Very nice.
Very nice.
Very nice recovery there.
Very good. So, plenty of Mets.
Can I interrupt and just start with one little story I've just seen?
Sure, yeah.
Is this a breaking news?
No, it's not breaking.
Okay.
I have odds on the NBA Finals.
Oh, this was in here.
Oh, is that right? Then I'll leave it for you.
No, I think we've already whet the appetite. I think we should follow through.
All right. Well, I can't really ask you then because you know.
You cannot.
Rick, what do you think? Who do you think's favorite to win this NBA Finals?
Denver.
How prohibitively?
Prohibitively.
How much?
They are minus.
Minus.
4,632.
Take the under.
Yeah.
Minus 175.
Raymond, what do you think?
I would have thought it would be in the minus 200 range.
So you're going to go minus 200?
Yeah.
You're both way under.
Way under.
Heavy
under.
Favorites.
Yep.
Minus 360.
Wow.
Yeah. Ooh. Almost a 4-1 favorite to win this NBA Finals.
Take All that. Right. Take it.
Dave's Denver Nuggets.
Yep. And
four wins away.
They really are, aren't they? And with that, they will take on the Miami Heat, who blow out the Celtics last night in Game 7, advance to the NBA Finals, to take on the aforementioned Denver Nuggets. Jimmy Butler, series MVP, scores 28. Caleb Martin, really nice conference finals. He scores 26. Miami avoids what would have been the first team in NBA history to drop a series after going up 3-0, but doesn't happen. Boston struggled from the start. They took a lead early and then never had a lead again. Jason Tatum turned his ankle on the first play of the game after winning the opening tip. Give him credit. Limped through 42 minutes. Didn't matter, though. They still lose.
Hang on. Rick's playing the audio on his computer. Just give us a second.
Oh, it's back?
Yeah, if you will, give us a second here.
Yeah, what are you doing over there?
Hang on.
I thought we fixed this.
Wait, no, it's a problem. Can you close the program?
It's doing it itself. He shut the volume off. I don't understand.
Disconnect it and throw it at the wall.
Oh. Yeah. At this point, there's got to be like a speaker or something
RJ.
In there.
Important to note here, perhaps this leads into Dave's odds. Denver Nuggets coming off a week's worth of rest over the Heat, who just finished up Game 7 last night. So, and remember, history could be made here. Heat, obviously an 8 seed, they get to the finals. First 8 seed to get to an NBA final since the 99 Knicks. Lowest seed ever to win an NBA title. Do you know this?
Houston Rockets 7.
6.
There were 6.
Correct team.
The second time they won it, right?
In 1995.
Correct. Can I ask Rick a question?
Is it about the audio of his computer?
No, okay. It's a serious question. How much impact, being that there's not a lot of rest, does the altitude play into this thing?
Probably a lot.
Yeah?
Yeah. Well, you've seen how dominant Denver has been at home. Yeah, I mean, this, you got to imagine the series has taken a lot out of Miami. Denver's the, I mean, listen, I don't want to put
anything
by.
They're the better team.
Right. They should be. Well, we said the same about Boston.
They should have been the better team.
Tyler,
you need Denver to win, though, after your Maple Leafs prediction, to even itself out.
Do I have a little payback there if Denver wins?
I think a little bit.
Yeah. I think you come out ahead a little bit.
Okay, I'll take it.
Tyler Hero could be back for Game 3 of the Finals. Remember him? Got hurt all the way back in Round 1.
Kentucky.
Unnecessary, but thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Nick Nurse, next head coach of the Sixers. Apparently, Nick Nurse, the decision was up to him. Sixers or Suns, according to Woj. Pick the Sixers. Wants to coach Joel Embiid.
I would not do that.
Had both on the table.
A lot less pressure in Phoenix. They'll eat you up and spit you out in
Phoenix
Philadelphia.
Is beautiful.
Beautiful weather is
Maybe
great.
Maybe he wants that pressure.
Yeah.
You got Durant. You got Devin
Booker. You got
Booker.
Yeah, I get it.
I mean, Devin Booker's not far off from
Devin Booker's
Joel
awesome.
Embiid.
Yeah. I know. Embiid's got injury stuff.
Adrian Griffin, your next head coach of the Milwaukee Bucks. He spent 4 years on Nick Nurse's staff with the Raptors. Strange story here. NBA is investigating referee Eric Lewis over burner accounts. Big problem in the NBA, apparently. He was allegedly responding to people that were critical of him. Not only him, but NBA officials in general. He could face discipline if it's confirmed it was him. The account has been deleted since then. He's spent 19 years as a ref. If you don't know, Eric Lewis officiated over 1,100 games, 82 playoff games. And if you look this up, in recent years, he's actually been one of the NBA's highest rated officials. He's done 6 finals games since 2019.
He's that sensitive that he's on Twitter looking at negativity towards him and other refs and responding in a burner account?
Allegedly.
He's doing finals games every year, basically.
I will tell you, before the account went silent, there was a tweet that claiming to be his brother, not him. So, who knows?
I hope. Even if it's not his brother, the brother has to say it was me.
Yeah, someone's got to take
it.
Me. Like Colangelo that one time.
Yeah.
The wife.
He's got to fall on the sword for
it's
the brother.
It's the wife.
We touched on rest. Another team coming off a lot of rest are the Florida Panthers. They will take on the Vegas Golden Knights in the Stanley Cup Final. Vegas all over Dallas, 6-0. Touchdown, Jack Eichel. Close it out 4-2. Second trip to the final for both teams in their franchise history. Knights played in 2018. Panthers in 96. Both lost. Vegas opens as a -130 favorite. Game one Saturday. Rick, your early thoughts?
My early thoughts. I'll be interested to see how the rest affects Bobrovsky, most importantly.
Bob,
because he's been amazing, man. I mean, he really has been. I'm not so much worried about Tkachuk and those guys, but, I mean, for a goalie to have that much time off when you're in the kind of zone he was in. And Vegas is a good team, dude. I mean, they really are. Big, physical.
Tkachuk and them boys.
It'll be a good series.
I have thoughts, too.
Oh, what are your thoughts, Dave?
I'm not sharing now.
The Leafs are gone.
I wasn't even approached to give my
How
opinion.
Do you know we weren't going there?
Maybe
because I know you.
Maybe Brendan Shanahan hires you as the GM.
Listen, that's a lot of pressure.
You got such belief.
That's a lot of pressure. I wouldn't want any part of that, but thank you.
Yankees beat the Mariners last night. Aaron Judge, two homers, brings a homer back. I don't know how they keep this stat, but fourth time since 04, Judge has hit a home run and robbed a homer in the same game. Most in baseball since then.
What do you mean you don't know how they keep that stat?
Well, because how can you be sure it was going to go out? Like, what?
I think you know.
The one last night was definitely
going out. Oh, that was going out. Was it? Who was it with the Brewers? Was it Carlos Gomez back in the day? I think he did it like twice in 1 year, or three times in 1 year.
He was a Met at one point.
He was a freaky good athlete, though.
He was.
When he was at his peak, he was awesome.
Domingo Germán back off suspension, goes 6 1/3, gives up 4. Some injury news. Giancarlo Stanton, Josh Donaldson, and Tommy Canley all in Somerset today. Go catch him if you got
nice.
Time.
Nice.
That's good.
A cheap ticket. Go watch the game.
Right. You can go watch the game and still make it home for the Yankees game tonight.
Yeah. Craig Kimbrell, eighth closer ever, 400 saves. Padres claim Gary Sanchez, also a former
Enjoy
Met,
that.
Off waivers.
Saved us money. Thank you.
Yep. I believe it's like $1 million offset, something like that. Mike Soroka returned for the first time since 2020 with the Braves. Atlanta loses. Soroka gives up 4/6. Nice story, Liam Hendricks. We told you a while back he was working his way back to the White Sox. Well, he did that last night. Gave up a couple of runs and 3 hits. But importantly, back his first outing in the big leagues since being diagnosed with non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. Good to see him back. DeAndre Hopkins, free agent. 3 years in Arizona, all done. He had a cap hit of about $31 million, so you had a feeling that was not going to stick. The Cardinals carry a $21 million dead money cap charge for him in 23. By the way, speaking...
Feels like they're trying to be bad.
It seems that way.
Yeah, I think. Yeah.
Now, if they get the top pick, though, because they have Houston's also, right?
Caleb Williams.
They'll take Caleb Williams.
And you ditch Kyler.
They'll trade Kyler Murray.
Yeah, weren't they already talking about trading him?
Yeah, I have no doubt.
Today marks 100 days until...
The NFL season starts.
That is correct.
You're not going to throw that one past me.
Dave, you witnessed the semis. Notre Dame wins their first men's lacrosse national championship. You have thoughts here.
What does a semi look like?
Enormous. Really, really large.
Any thoughts on the large semis?
On Notre Dame winning their semifinal match?
This is where I come to you for insight.
Well, I appreciate that. They trailed Virginia late, scored the last two goals to tie it, and then the goal in overtime to win it.
Wow.
It was very exciting. And there was a controversial goal by Duke.
Oh.
Duke won in overtime, but on replay you can see the kid was clearly in the crease. But they don't have replay in lacrosse. Goal counts, Duke moves on, losing the finals to Notre Dame.
Not the only team to win something in a crease illegally.
You're still relaxed, you got to let it go, RJ.
Nope.
Holy.
How goodness. Many years?
24.
Jeez. Was that the last time you guys made the playoffs?
Nope, that's 12. Tied with
the We played against Buffalo in the playoffs.
You're a bad guy.
You beat him, right?
No. Ugh. It was when Buffalo was good. They were good.
Been a long time. And finally, Uve, known to me and you, are the leading team to sign Christian Pulisic.
Ooh. Oh, the American.
That's right.
That's not Bungalow or whatever his name is.
No, this man.
Falarin Balugan.
Not
Balugan.
Bungalow. It's getting worse.
You're an idiot.
It's getting worse.
And that is it.
And that's it.
That's it.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast.
I think they're listening to me.
They're everywhere, Dave.
I know you're here.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want.
Woohoo! Over here!
Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
We have a man who could absolutely decapitate you and or I, or both of us at the exact same time without even a moment's thought.
Yeah, I think it's pretty safe to say.
He's an MMA fighter. He's terrifying. He's a nice man, and even if he wasn't, we'd say he was. He is Michael Chandler. Good morning, Michael. How are you? It's DiPietro and Rothenberg on 98.7 ESPN.
Good morning, boys, man. I am living the dream, man. Thank you all for having me.
All right, so walk us through the Ultimate Fighter. It's Team McGregor. We know Conor McGregor and Team Chandler. All right, it's going to be the biggest season that we've ever had. Now, the new season will be returning to television, premiering on ESPN tonight at 10 o'clock. Show will be available for streaming the following day on ESPN Plus. So I asked Rick this, who's watched this in the past, how do you create the teams? Is it a draft, or are you just told, here's who you're going to battle with, figure it out with these guys?
It's a good question, yeah, and this is definitely going to be the biggest season that we have ever had. It was a fun season, I can tell you that much, and I can tell you this, we showed up and we weren't quite sure how we were going to pick the teams. You know, the first episode, a lot of foundations are going to be laid, teams will be picked, but there were some coin tosses and there were some picks. We got some prospects and we got some veterans, you know, so it's kind of the Ultimate Fighter season 31 prospects versus veterans as well. So there's some groups of guys who have been in the UFC before. They've been cut, they've been written off, they basically were told you're not good enough. So they brought some of those guys back, and then they got some young, hungry prospects who have yet to taste the UFC bright lights. So it's going to be a really fun season, and the teams get picked tonight, basically by chance and a coin flip.
Michael, how's it been? I mean, this is a fight that you want. I mean, we're all excited about the show, but more importantly, I'm as a fan of the UFC, I'm excited to watch you fight Conor McGregor. How has it been now as coaches, the interaction between you two?
It's been, you know, it's been good for the most part. You know, Conor and I have a lot of respect for each other. Both he and I are fierce competitors. We want to win. We want to get over on the other guy at every turn, whether it was on the show, whether it was at each other, whether it was coaches' challenges, whether it was every aspect of it. Ultimately, this was the fight that I wanted, and to be able to compete against him prior to actually fighting him, you know, on a show as big as The Ultimate Fighter, to be able to coach these guys, mentor these guys, usher these guys into the UFC, hopefully, was definitely a dream come true, and we're going to see it over the next 12 weeks. Then Conor and I will fight later on this year, and it's the biggest fight I could have asked for. That's what you want when you get into the sport of mixed martial arts. You don't just want fights, you want big fights. You want big stages, you want bright lights, you want great opportunities, and that's what this is. And Conor and I have had our ups and downs overall, ton of respect for each other, but you're going to have to wait and see and watch on ESPN all summer, because there's definitely some promos floating around out there where we put our hands on each other, so it's going to be fun.
Yeah, I've seen a couple of those. I can't wait. More nerve-wracking. Is it actually I do some coaching of my son and everything else. This is a totally different level of what you're doing, but as an athlete, more nerve-wracking when you're in the ring fighting, in the cage fighting, or actually being a coach with these guys and you have no real control of what's happening?
You know, honestly, coaching. You know, I've always said it's a lot harder for me to watch somebody I care about fight than for me to actually fight. You know, I kind of just I work hard and I know I do everything right. So I know when I step into the octagon that I've done every single thing that I can, and everything else is just going to be how it's going to be, if you will. But when you're coaching, when you're cornering these guys, when you're walking out with them, when you're thinking about the training and the blood, sweat, and tears that they put themselves through, their families back home, you think about their future, you think about the pain of their past, you think about all these different things weighing on them, and you get to be the catalyst towards them taking the step in the right direction. There was a lot of pressure that comes with it. There's a lot of ownness and ownership and accountability that I put on myself to wake up every single day to put these guys in the best possible scenario to be successful. And then fight night comes, and then you're there in the corner. You look them in the eyes, and you want to give them every ounce of your energy, every ounce of your technique, and get them to where they want to be. And it was a lot tougher coaching guys than it was me actually fighting, because I've gotten used to fighting now, and I don't get nervous at all. I just go out there and let it fly, baby.
Michael Chandler's with us here, 98.7 ESPN. He is Team Chandler, obviously, against Team McGregor, and then he's going to fight Conor McGregor at the end of the season of The Ultimate Fighter, which premieres tonight, 10 o'clock, on ESPN. So I did a little research before we had you on today. I see you're from Missouri. Does that mean that you are a Patrick Mahomes and a Chiefs fan?
So it was funny. I'm from St. Louis, so I was always a St. Louis Rams fan, and then the same year that we lost the Rams to LA, I moved to Nashville, Tennessee. So I'm now a Titans fan, but if the Titans aren't in it, I do root for the Chiefs, because I do love Patrick Mahomes. I do think he's a phenomenal talent, awesome dude, awesome ball player, and then just the huge supporting cast that he has there. The Chiefs are a special group of dudes, but I'm a Titans fan through and through now these days, because I moved to Nashville, Tennessee. But I am a huge Eagles fan as well.
Oh, we got to go.
Yes.
Thank you so much. You were prompted to say this by the producer. I know that that's exactly what happened. You were prompted by our producer to say this. I hope McGregor chokes you out.
Oh, no. Go, Bird.
Actually, I do have a couple buddies that played for the Eagles. So every now and then I was rooting for the Birds. But, you know, for the most part, I'm a Titans fan and a Chiefs fan as well. So,
yeah, that was too good.
Great.
How dare you?
What do you mean?
Root against him.
Wait, if he says he's an Eagles fan.
Conor McGregor's not on the show, is he?
What?
No. Is Conor McGregor on the show with us?
But I bet she doesn't root for the Eagles.
No, it doesn't matter.
It matters to me.
Yeah. Michael,
you handle
Chandler
you,
fans.
I'll handle me.
I'm going to have to choke him out myself now, Mike. Let me ask you this final question before we let you go. So I get it. Listen, this is the fight you wanted. This is a huge, huge fight. I mean, all eyes will be on this fight. Reality where McGregor's at. He's lost three of his last four fights. Like, I mean, do you look at this as a fight that you know you can win, but like, where is McGregor at? I mean, career-wise, fighting-wise, at this point?
Man, I think you could look at all those signs that point towards his demise, towards his downfall, towards, hey, he's got all the money, he's got all the fame, he's on, you know, social media looking like he's not exactly living a non-party lifestyle. He's definitely, he was just in Monaco on his Lamborghini yacht and all that kind of stuff. I get it. I get where the sentiment is from people that say Conor McGregor is past his prime, he's never coming back, he's not focused. But all we need is 8 to 10 weeks to train for a fight. All we need is a solid 2-3 months to put ourselves in the best possible scenario. Right now he's living it up. Right now he's enjoying himself. He's got a documentary coming out, or that already came out, that's all about his comeback. He wants to prove to the entire world that he still is Conor McGregor. He shattered his leg 2.5 years ago. He's coming back. Now he's on ESPN every single week for the next 12 weeks, all summer long, building the hype with one of the most entertaining, most electrifying guys in the sport, a la Michael Chandler. We're going to put butts in seats, put them on the edge of their seats, and I think Conor is dangerous no matter what. He's a rangy, very, very fast, reactive southpaw. A lot of people say I'm the perfect, you know, kind of opponent that is tailor-made for a guy like Conor, more of an overhand right, stockier wrestler. He's knocked out numerous guys like me in the past, so it's a fight. It's a fight in 4-ounce gloves. Anybody can get knocked out at any given moment, and Conor has it in his he has it in his DNA. He has it coursing through his veins. Yes, he might have a couple of zeros in his bank account. He might be living a party lifestyle. He might have broken his leg. He might have lost a couple fights, but the fire is still in him. And on fight night, he shows up and he makes you feel something. So I'm not taking him lightly. I don't care how many he's won, how many he has lost. He's still one of the best fighters on the planet. And I think it's going to be a – I think I go out there and finish him in the second round. Yes, that is my Mystic Mike prediction. I beat him up in the first, make him second-guess himself, put him on his back foot, start making him make ill-advised decisions, and I put him away in the second. But I'm not taking him lightly. I think Connor is still Connor, and he's got something to prove. He's got a huge chip on his shoulder right now.
Well, as long as you were kidding about rooting for the Eagles, I hope that exactly what you say happens. You take him out in round two.
I was kidding. I was just giving you guys some hard time.
All right. We appreciate you. Good luck. We're going to certainly check out the season. Starts tonight on ESPN 10 o'clock and then on ESPN Plus following that the next day. Good stuff. Good luck. And we'll talk to you soon, hopefully, Michael.
Awesome. I appreciate it. Yeah. And real quick, make sure everybody checks out my YouTube channel. I'm going to be doing a weekly tough reaction show where I'm going to react to every single episode right here in my studio. I have a ton of guests on. So it's a way for me to continue to connect with and give back to the fans. So, it'll be a fun summer, man. It's going to be a lot of fun. Thank you all for having me on.
Absolutely. Good stuff. Good luck. That, of course, is Michael Chandler joining us here on 98.7 ESPN.
I give them so much credit, man. I give them so much credit.
Those guys are nuts.
Oh, it's not. I mean, it's what they do for a living.
I understand that, but that is crazy stuff.
Oh, it's crazy. Yes.
I mean, listen, what you did, a lot of people couldn't do.
Well, it wasn't what I did, though. It's like, I mean, we had guys on our team, like back in the day when I first started, like there would be guys, like we had one guy who would like, he'd sit in the mirror and he'd Vaseline his own face up and he'd be like.
For fighting?
Because that was his job. He knew at some point I'm going to have to fight.
Right. But you're fighting to basically have the other guy give up.
Yeah, or knockout. Yeah, or knockout or whatever. Yeah,
it's a lot.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It's only a kick, a jump, a block, it's only a serve, it's only a tackle, a run, it's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast. Looking for more access to the show?
Why? Because you know why.
Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at DR on ESPN.
All right. It's time for the Daily DNR trivia question. Call the contest line at 888-987-ESPN right now for your chance to qualify for a custom 2023 Ford Bronco. Not just any Ford Bronco. This is your Ford Bronco.
No, it's gorgeous.
That you're driving around keeping all warm for the winter.
Oh, yeah.
And to win VIP access to the ESPN New York Beach Bash on June 30th. It's all brought to you by All American Ford Auto Group with huge locations throughout New Jersey in Paramus, Hackensack, Old Bridge, and Point Pleasant. Head to ESPNNewYork.com for promotion, rules, and information. I have the question right in front of me, and I will ask the question when we get the participants live on the air.
It's a listener retention question.
That's right.
Yes.
I think it's fair to say, if you've been listening somewhat closely during the course of the show, you will easily get this correct.
Because it's a giveaway, yeah. Oh, RJ, you didn't bring this up in Stuff You Missed. Did you see the...
He's screening these callers.
No. I wasn't asking him to speak. Saying he missed it. And I wanted to bring it up. Did you see the Pete Alonso poop home run?
Yes. So tell me, I heard about this. So I guess he didn't play in the game against the Reds.
This game against Cincinnati, yep.
Desperately had to go to the bathroom.
Yes.
As I guess he said he mistimed his coffee intake, and usually he's regular when he has some coffee.
This is very important stuff.
Mistimed his coffee. They ask him to go pinch hit. He's got to go to the bathroom.
Right.
He goes up.
First pitch, this at bat's going
to
be over.
Says to himself, I don't care if the pitch is at my eyes or in the dirt, wherever it is, I'm swinging first pitch. Now, my question is, what happens if he doubled?
Problem. Right? Big problem.
Whatever.
If you got to go, a Paul Pierce moment, probably.
If he's got to go to that extent, he doubles, he's got to lug it out, he's at second base, and now they do have a pitching change.
What do you do?
I don't know.
I think you have to excuse yourself. You can't poop in your pants.
How can you excuse
if
yourself?
If it was that bad? Like, if it's that bad where it's, I don't care what happens, first pitch, this at bat's going to be over.
So let's finish down the story. So, first pitch, home run, rounds the bases, finishes, and runs right into the bathroom.
Home plate, it was like, it's straight to the bathroom. Oh. No high fives, straight to the bathroom.
That's rough.
He couldn't have gone beforehand, though?
Well, no, I mean, it's just, who knows how long it's going to take? You don't know how long that's going to take. Like, you can't risk that.
I guess. I don't know. I think it's...
You go roll the dice. Yeah, but and when you're that good...
You're at the point where you have to swing the bat on the first pitch. You have no choice but to swing the bat first pitch. You're really backing yourself into
right.
the corner.
Yes.
Anyway, again, what happens at line drive base hit? Now a rally starts.
Well, now I think you have to give word. I need to be out.
Do you get picked off?
But no, I think you have to be out. I think you have to be out.
Like Greg Allen. Like, you intentionally get picked off.
What if you hit a ball that ends up getting, like, it starts bouncing around in the corner? And now you got to try. Now it's
like at a triple. You got a triple the other day.
Oh, that would be the
worst.
You
ever have anything like that?
Where I had to go in my pants. No.
Don has had that.
I've had like I've had a questionable a questionable fart that was not really.
I have to tell you a story. Start a show years ago, doing nights years ago. Start a show like seven. I think it was a 7 to midnight show. 7:02. I was like, oh god,
oh no.
And then you just, all you're focused on, I don't know what I was even talking about. All I'm focused on is, I got to go to the bathroom.
You start sweating?
Sweating. Yep. I can feel myself turning like beet red. And at like 7:07, I was like, listen, why do I have to kill myself? I went to break. I went to break early.
At that point,
I never went to the bathroom.
Well, you have no choice at that point. You're not going to battle. You can't battle through that.
But that's people listening. Could you imagine people watching you?
No. No. I mean, you could listen. You could probably get away with maybe the other one if you really had to. But you can't.
No.
No.
No way. All right. Everyone's lined up. They're ready for trivia. We start with John in Garden City.
Today's All-American Ford trivia.
So close. So
you
close.
Stink at trivia.
You
stink at this game.
I'm good at trivia. I'm bad at remembering that there's an open Ford.
Yes.
John in Garden City. Good morning, John.
Good morning. How are you guys?
Well, you sound very subdued. Okay. You ready for your question?
Yeah, I'm ready.
All right. What did I... Dave, say to the Princeton student that angered me over the weekend. Two-word phrase. What did I say?
Your mother.
And there you go. You're a winner. Congratulations.
So this is my people. This is my people on Long Island.
That's right. Garden City, very, very big fancy, time, bougie spot.
Nah, big-time listeners.
Yeah, I'm at work, so that's why I'm a little quiet. Sorry.
That's okay. So you're excited. You're going to get to meet us at the big beach bash June 30th.
That sounds great.
And now you have a chance to win Rick's, and I've seen this thing, unbelievable Bronco.
Johnny, you start rolling around Garden City in this thing. They pull this thing up to Water Zooey and some flocking.
Yeah, well, with the Bentleys and stuff around
here. Flocking to you. Love it.
We look forward to meeting you, John. Congratulations for today.
Thanks, guys. Take care.
Right. There you go. So John in Garden City, boom, right away.
Sexy voice right away, too.
I didn't find his voice overly
sexy?
No, not overly sexy. I'm not dissuading you from finding him sexy, but I didn't find that voice overly sexy. I do like that he got it right so quickly, so matter of fact.
Immediately.
What did I respond? Your mother.
Right.
That's right.
You are a nut, and I think we all respect it.
It's really odd.
Yeah,
odd. You know what the strangest thing of all of it is? That I didn't turn to him and respond, go Giants. Like, any normal person would hear, go Birds, go Big Blue. Go Birds, go Giants. Go Birds, your mother.
Yep.
right?
Right. I think if you gave me a list of three choices, what Dave said, I think I probably would have said your mother. Because you're twisted and a little bit damaged.
I think that's fair.
Right.
And I take it so seriously.
Very serious.
Are
you ready to start a fight?
It's
like a beautiful, let's just walk around Princeton.
Oh, it's good. 83 degrees. Right. Sun is shining.
Ben's happy.
Oh, we're checking out the baseball Bill Bradley statue in front of the basketball facility. It's reunion weekend, so you see people from like class of 83 and 92 and all. And then you get this savage walking the streets of Princeton.
And there it is. Oh, there's the Rothenbergs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We must look like quite the people, by the way.
Yeah. I mean, especially when you act that way.
Like a fish out of water, right?
Probably.
Okay, my wife is hobbling with a big knee brace.
Alex has no interest in being there.
He'll let you know what the drop of a hat.
I don't even want to be here.
I don't want to be here. I'm not even supposed to be here, and I don't even want to be here.
This place stinks.
He did realize that he does not want to go to a school in a city.
Well, that's good. I mean,
Alex
positive.
Said that. He's like, I do not want to go in a big city.
There we go.
So Penn, if they want him for lacrosse, out. He will not be going there.
Oh, Johns Hopkins got good lacrosse.
Great lacrosse.
Yeah.
Paul Rabel went to Johns Hopkins, which I didn't even realize.
Well, now you know.
Now I know. Penn, by the way, their baseball team is in the NCAA tournament, and we saw them practicing.
That's important.
We went to the school.
Ben's a big-time baseball player.
We'll see if he can, go to a school like Penn, but we'll see. All right, Raymond, I remember you're open. Who can forget?
Today's three stars.
Sorry, I was waiting to see if there was anything else there.
Number three.
Right? No, steamroll right over his face.
You're doing great.
Don't mind us. We're just enjoying this Boston downfall. As New Yorkers, as Knicks fans, just enjoying the Miami Heat's win because, A, it makes Boston feel miserable, and, B, it makes us feel slightly better, just the littlest better, about losing to the Miami Heat. It's okay.
Not
number
sure,
two.
Not sure the littlest better. Littlest is a word, and littlest. It makes me feel more than a little better. I feel much better.
Boston, tough stretch here.
Very tough.
Go
I love it.
Number two, this really needs no explanation.
I am a huge Eagles fan as well.
Oh, we got to go.
Yes.
Thank you so much. No. I hope McGregor chokes you out. Oh, no.
Thank you, Michael Chandler.
Oh,
thank you,
God.
Dave Rothenberg. Thank you, RJ, for the assist.
Number one.
And why is that number two? Well, number one is the Princeton kid who decided to say, ever so innocently, go Birds. And Dave just responds, your mother, all I can imagine is that kid from Little Giants.
Don't be talking about my mama.
That poor Princeton kid. He's going to get you. He's going to get you back.
I welcome that. All right. Good job by you, Raymond. RJ, everybody. We'll do this again tomorrow, one day closer to the big tailgate. It's Rule 76.
No excuses, Black and Champion. It's DPH Rothenberg. And
let's go, Senga.
On 98.7 ESPN.
You want to tussle?
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast. Listen live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN New York app, or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN.